So what do you immediately think of when someone tells you to eat something or do something because it's good for you? You know your mom's pulled that trick on you, or your doctor, or your teacher, or maybe your pastor. But it's good for you. Those are words to fear, words to run away and hide from, words to make your blood run cold. Why do you ask? Because Little Debbie's and beer and potato chips and laying around watching TV, who knew, are not good for you. What's good for you are things like diet and exercise and homework and reading through your Bible in the year. That's my shameless plug. What's good for you are things like cod liver oil and parsnips and kale smoothies and prune juice. That's good for you, kids. Have fun with that. When someone tells you to do or eat something because it's good for you, be suspicious. Be very, very suspicious. Because this little expression ranks right up there with when your doctor or dentist tells you that you're going to feel a little pressure. What's that buzzword for? You better hold on tight because there's a whole lot of pain coming. Do any of you have life insurance, auto insurance, homeowners insurance? Do you like to make those payments every year? Who loves paying their car insurance? Seems like you're just spending money for nothing, right? You got to have it, but you so rarely use it. Why not just cancel your policies and save a couple of $100 a year? Or a couple of thousand is more like it. Anyone have investment money? Why do you choose to invest it with a brokerage or in a 401k, when the return on your investment, think about this, the return on your investment could be so much greater if you took it to the casino, right? And let it all ride. You could make some big bucks. Wall Street is never going to give you 5-1, are they? So why not take your savings, spin the wheel, and see where that little ball lands? You could make a mint. Besides, a wild and crazy night at the casino is always more fun than logging into your 401k to see if your investments are up or down. That's not so very exciting, is it? And the racetrack, you get instant payout right there on the spot. You don't have to wait for maturity. You don't get penalized if you're under 59 and a half or any of that kind of stuff. Why the heck am I talking about these random? I can be pretty random, but why am I talking about these random things this morning? Do my comments seem more random than ever? That's a rhetorical question. Don't answer it. You see, all of these things that we have and that we've been pondering this morning are things that we do because we have to or because we're better off doing, right? It's better to carry insurance. It's better to drink the kale smoothie than the box of Little Debbie's. We watch our diets not out of fun, but to stay healthy. We limit the Little Debbie so we can avoid medical complications later. We visit the doctor so that our health will not give us any unpleasant surprises, hopefully. We carry insurance not because we like to throw away our money and not because we anticipate dying or having a wreck or losing our roof in a tornado. We carry insurance because if those things do happen, we're protected. To be redundant, it's an insurance policy against disaster. We put our investments someplace safe, like a well-diversified, well-managed 401k, because we need that money to grow slowly and carefully for when we retire. The slots may be more exciting and more fun, but who owns the casino anyway? We insure ourselves, we hedge our bets. We protect our lives against disaster, not because it's fun, because it isn't fun, but for security. And that's what this whole passage from Luke's gospel that Joyce had just read is all about, hedging our bets and protecting ourselves. We love those we hate, and we give what we don't want to give because it's good insurance against the future. We do those things so we can collect our reward. So let me just get this whole sermon over and done with in a few more words, and we can get out of here all that much earlier. And if we get out of here early, we beat the Lutherans and the Baptists to the lunch places, right? We're all in agreement. So my quick pastoral guilt trip for you. It's all about karma, my friends. If you project good onto the universe, especially when there is bad karma for your enemies or those hounding you for help, then only good flows back to you. Peace and love and flowers, my friend. Good karma to change your life. Thanks, Oprah. Gracias, Dr. Phil. Good advice. We give to get. We do good to get good. Sermon over and done with. Off to lunch. Except. Except for one little thing. That's not what this passage is about. And karma has no place in the vocabulary of a follower of Christ. Jesus doesn't preach it, and God doesn't traffic in karma. Jesus said, God sends the rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And Jesus' words are not some sort of an insurance policy against the future. His words are not a sure bet so we can gain eternal life. Those are exactly what Jesus is not talking about in this passage. Sorry to have set you up, but I couldn't help it. It was such a natural and easy argument, wasn't it? And it made such perfect sense, because we all like a little insurance, don't we? And loving our enemies and going the extra mile for someone is kind of like cod liver oil. We don't like it, it's not fun, and we'd rather be doing something else. Hating our enemies and keeping our stuff for our own use, that's so much nicer and easier and better. But if we can endure our medicine and feel that little pinch, it'll be so worth it in the end. You know the payout, right? First class seats in heaven, gold crowns, being called blessed by our Father, the whole nine yards. So take your medicine today, collect the payout tomorrow. But let me repeat, that's not at all what this passage is about. Jesus' words are not an insurance policy against the future. His words are not a sure bet so we can gain eternal life. That's not what Jesus is talking about. You see, God doesn't speak karma, and God doesn't make us do difficult stuff because it's good for us. And God isn't in the insurance policy business. God likes to gamble. God likes to gamble big. God is all about gambling. You don't see it? God took the biggest risk on you. He put it all on the line when he rolled the dice with you. He offered grace and mercy and forgiveness and love to you. Sight unseen, with absolutely no guarantees that his gamble would pay off. But he took the risk and he rolled the dice. Because. Just because. Because that's God's way and God's language. It is the language of grace. Jesus doesn't give us these words from today because they're good for us or because we need to do them to gain eternal life. Hear the words again, but listen to them through the ears of someone who has already received the mercy and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Hear these words not as a bunch of things that we have to do or else. Hear them, each one of you. Each one of you who are the product and the process of what God's grace and mercy can do to those of us who do not deserve it. And that ain't no karma. Close your eyes for a minute and hear these merciful and life-giving words. But I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other. And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks you, and from someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do to you, do the same for them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what's good to those who are good to you, What credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do what is good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is gracious to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Those aren't beautiful and sentimental words to embroider on a pillow and keep in the parlor. Does anyone still have a parlor? These words are the love language of God. They are the perfect description of this one that we call the Son of God. It's a perfect and complete summary of the one and only Son of God, sent to redeem us and to transform our lives. And God in Jesus Christ invites us to learn that same love language and share it with others. Not because it's required of us, and not because it's good insurance for the future, not because we hope to get a good return on our investment. It's none of those things. God has already, in Christ Jesus, filled our laps to overflowing with His good measure of mercy and forgiveness for each one of us. And it's already enough, way more than enough. These words that Jesus gives us are an invitation to feast deeply on that measure of mercy and grace that we have already received, to let it fill us and nourish us and transform us into the graceful and merciful people that we were created to be, because that's what you were created to be, graceful and merciful. And when we can do that and allow that process of transformation begin in us, then the rest isn't bad medicine. When God's mercy and God's grace transform us, how can we help but love those who don't love us back? How can we help but go the extra mile? How can we help but be gracious and merciful? And trust me, it'll be no trouble at all, and it won't hurt a bit. Amen.